Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm in Catskill in the studio of artist Tristan Fitch, a self-taught painter and sculptor. His works are both architectural and abstract, whether it's a large-scale canvas layered with paint to create a non-representational landscape, or brightly colored folly-like geometric objects that playfully exist in nature. Tristan's work has been exhibited around the Catskills and Hudson Valley, including places like Catspan Cultural Park in Tivoli, Lab Space in Hillsdale, and the Greene County Council on the Arts, now known as CREATE, as well as Hilo and Catterskill Market, all on Main Street in Catskill. So to start, Tristan, what originally brought you to the Catskills?
Hello.
Hi.
I moved to New York City in 1990. And in 1992, I took a workshop at the Lexington House for actors, writers, and directors. I was an aspiring actor at the time.
And the Lexington House is actually in Lexington.
In Lexington. It's that old inn that is nestled on the Schoharie Creek, and then there's the little bridge that goes over the creek, and then Lexington House is right there. It's probably built in, I would say, the late 1800s, and it has that really cool big veranda porch that wraps around, and wood cornice molding, and it's really, really, really beautiful. And in the 90s, it was operated by the Ensemble Studio Theater.
And the Ensemble Studio Theater was both in New York and then would sort of hibernate up here to the Catskills?
Yep. They'd move their programming for the summer to the Lexington House. They owned the property there, and they did summer stock theater and also hosted a number of workshops that would go on during the entire summer for writers, directors, and actors. EST is a writer's theater. Arthur Miller, David Mamet, a lot of really wonderful writers came out of EST. They're still operating, they're still in the city, but they no longer own and operate the Lexington House.
Do you remember or know how long they were there and why they left?
In the early 90s, they acquired the property and they stopped when Kurt Dempster passed. He was the former director of EST in around the early 2000s.
It wasn't because the building needed repairs.
They never really used that inn as for the theater or to even house the actors. There are cabins up at the top of the hill, and then there's a staff house, and the current owners live in the staff house. And then there's a very cool old barn converted into a theater. And I'd say it's probably a 60 or 75 seat theater with a full on light and sound booth. Looking at it from the outside, you would never know there's a stage in there and seats in a theater with risers. And it's nestled up on a hill that's across the street from the Lexington House. So you can't see it from the road, the barn. And so that's where the theater is, and that's where we would perform. And I came up every summer from 1992 through around 2001 to do summer stock theater. And that's how I
got hooked
on the Catskills and eventually, moved up here. But that place is, near and dear to my heart. We used the fields to perform in, not only just the theater, do plays in the Schoharie Creek, little scenes. There was a river theater that has since fallen into the Schoharie Creek. It's no longer there.
Literally a river theater?
It was an old ice house, maybe. Wow. And they converted that into
a performance space.
They, put chairs in there and would do plays and perform them for the local community there in Lexington. And so during the summertime, Lexington in the 90s had performances to go to, plays to go see right there, and great plays done by this very good theater, you know, in down in New York City.
What do you know about the current owners?
Young couple, a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm, and want to maintain the legacy. So they are starting with renovating the inn because that needs the most work. And they're converting the inn into a more of an exhibition space for art and installation work. So they just had this past summer their first group show, and I have a sculpture in there. To have performed and done theater there in the 90s, and then my last time on that property, I think, was in 2008. I never thought I would do anything there again.
Wow. That must be so nice to have it come full circle, to have been an actor there, and then now many years later to have your artwork exhibited there.
Something in the universe keeps bringing me back there.
Well, I can't wait to go back. The very first house I ever rented in the Catskills was in Lexington. Wow. So to get to this little tiny house in the middle of what I felt was middle of nowhere,
yeah,
I had to pass that building.
Right.
And at the time, it was, at that point, abandoned. Mm-hmm. They had, I guess, already come and gone. I had just missed that theater group.
Right.
And so every time I go past it now, I always think, what if someone were to make something great with it?
Yeah.
I never sort of imagined it ever becoming back to being an old hotel or an old inn. It would just take too much work.
Yeah.
But as an actual place to do art exhibitions and theater performances, there's nothing else like it.
It oozes magic just looking at it. And it has a little bit of a haunted feel.
Yeah, it's a little mysterious. Yeah. And just the way it's situated, like over the creek.
Yeah, it feels like it doesn't cantilever out over the creek, but it's certainly, the porch goes right onto the banks.
So you've been exhibited in a number of group shows in the region, and in particular the Wassaic Project, where five of your outdoor sculptures have been on view now going on about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the Wassaic Project?
Mm-hmm. They are a residency program for emerging and mid-career artists, and they have housing on the premises there for artists to live, and it's in an old mill. The actual exhibition space where they do all their shows and performances is in a 7-story mill that's called Maxon Mills, and each floor, 7 floors, has a small exhibition space, some larger than others, and you climb an old staircase, winding staircase. It's kind of like a spiral staircase, but a little bit larger. So as you travel from one floor to the next, you encounter little nooks and crannies. The walls are wood plank walls, and some areas have little cutout boxes that artists will, you know, install little, you know, works,
teeny tiny works.
Yep. And then at the top, it opens up into a larger exhibition space. But super supportive, really wonderful place to nurture art and engage the local community of Wassaic. They have a lot going on. Their summer calendar is pretty jam-packed with the large group show that they do there annually, 40 artists exhibiting throughout the mill and then also outside on their grounds. The property goes right along the Metro North rail trail. And the sculptures that I have there now are along the rail trail. The first year that they were there, we installed them in the back. They have a big back field. There's horses that come out of the barn and feed in the grass there and interact with the sculptures, which is really cool
to see.
Yeah, they sent a picture one day to me of one of my sculptures with a horse right next to it. So that was pretty cool to
that
see.
That would not happen anywhere else.
No,
it's Valley.
Super unique. Yeah, it's this a beautiful relationship between the art and the nature and
the architecture,
it's the tallest structure for miles, so you can see it before you get into Wassaic. A really, really wonderful place. They have every Halloween the Haunted Hamlet Monsters Ball, which There's a parade that has floats in the parade, and the floats are designed and made and fabricated by artists. And
that's the ultimate kind of parade.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for the town,
free to the public. Anybody can come, and the parade kind of wraps around, travels around the mill. And,
oh, man, artists must make the best floats.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all dressed up, and there's music, and yeah, it's pretty cool to see.
So besides the Wasaic Project, what are other art venues that you might recommend in the region, or anything mm-hmm. else that you're excited about? Doesn't have to be art.
This past summer, I went to Art Austerlitz for the first time. It's in an old church in Austerlitz, New York, which is on the east side of the Hudson River, just north of Hudson. It's a beautiful drive getting there. It's a small little chapel. Pews are still there. Altar, everything is in place. And
do they still have services there?
They don't have services. And I believe that's why the director, Ryan Turley, proposed it. It's because the church wasn't being used. And so he thought, what a wonderful way to use this building as an art space. And so this past summer they had a number of shows. And as far as like things that stick out in my mind, Art Austerlitz is, I think, a really good new thing that's happening. Also T-Space.
I love T-Space.
And Rhinebeck. For the architecture lovers and art lovers, it's a little bit of both. And getting into the gallery space, there's a plank that you walk up, and it's in the woods.
Going to T-Space feels like going into a three-dimensional example of, I guess, the golden rectangle.
Oh, yeah.
But it feels like also just going into the most special treehouse.
Yeah.
You're really up there in the trees, and the natural light is so extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it's such a unique space. And I'm also a big fan of the architect who designed it, Stephen Hall, because I went to architecture school.
Yeah.
Many moons ago.
It's done very well. That's a beautiful place. Yeah. And then locally here, in being a resident of Catskill, Left Bank Ciders recently started a monthly reading series called Northern Spy Reading Series. And it's being a cider bar, they're calling it Poetry, Prose, and Fermented Fruit. Left Bank Ciders is just a great new spot to go and hang out with your friends in Catskill. And it's dog friendly. And another fun thing to do here at Avalon Lounge in Catskill, they are starting a story workshop, Story Slam, on the fly Story Slam. And that's, I think, the first Thursday of every month.
That's when you get up and just tell a story?
On the fly. No. I think it's themed.
Kind of like the moth.
Right.
Moth storytelling, which I love.
Love.
Yeah. I would be so shy to do it, but
yeah, I would too.
Tristan, I think we need to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I there's plenty of stories to be told.
Well, thank you so much for those recommendations.
Yeah.
All worth checking out.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.